Hi, you're listening to the CDC ESG podcast. In this podcast series, we explore how investors and businesses can develop their understanding of environmental, social, and governance issues. My name is Rob Combert from CDC's communications team, and in today's episode, we're going to look at water risks and how they can be assessed and managed using a free online tool developed by the World Wildlife Fund for Nature, or WWF as they're probably better known. The tool is called the Water Risk Filter, and last year, with support from our technical assistance facility, CDC Plus, the tool was enhanced and updated. Now, later on, we'll hear more from the WWF themselves about the tool, but first up, to give us an overview of why investors and businesses should be thinking about water risks, here's Zinclay Shabalala from our ESG team, who's been working on the Water Risk Filter. Tell us why this is such an important issue in the countries where we invest.
Sure. So businesses in Africa and South Asia are among the most vulnerable to water risks, and these have had very significant to negative socioeconomic and financial impacts on our portfolio companies. As CDC, we have partnered with WWF in order to support them in enhancing their tool, which we think is very leading online tool, which can help companies and investors in better understanding their risks as well as effectively managing it.
What is the Water Risk Filter exactly? How does it work?
Sure. So in simple terms, the Water Risk Filter is a leading open access and web-based water risk tool, and this can be used by investors and companies. It currently used to give you your current physical, reputational and regulatory risk data. But with our partnership, obviously with the support of CDC Plus, they're now able to give us three different scenarios to assess how water risks may evolve over a period of 10 to 30 years. And they do this under different climate and socioeconomic pathways. So instead of understanding only your current risks, it also helps you understand forthcoming climate-related risks that could impact your operations.
And if I can ask you one more question before we hand over to Ariane, what are the benefits to investors from using a tool like this and from thinking about water risks?
I guess the great thing about this is you first get a sense of the risks currently. So you identify your risks and then you manage and you can track future performance. Like, so how is the situation likely to change given the ever-changing environment that we're in now? And another thing that it can help with as an investor is it is in line with the TCFD principles, so it can help with your disclosure and reporting. But this tool also helps in terms of knowing which areas to prioritize and where to allocate your capital. So if we are, for example, a CDC looking to build more capacity within an organization, we know which triggers are likely to influence the risk profile of the company and where to target our support. So is it baseline related? Is it operational issues? For example, is it a water scarcity issue or is it a flooding issue? And in that sense, you're able to better articulate the support that you can give to a portfolio company, but also to direct your adaptive, financing and building more capacity.
And now here's Zinclay speaking to Ariane Laporte-Bisky to take a deeper dive into the Water Risk Filter, how you can use it, and what the benefits are.
My name is Ariane Laporte-Bisky. I work at WWF Germany, and I am the project manager for the Water Risk Tool.
So why should we care about water risks? So maybe if you can speak in the context of WWF, why are water issues so important?
Yeah, so why does WWF care about issues related to water? Well, I mean, WWF has a long history of working for the protection of healthy freshwater environments. After all, freshwater is the basis for all life on Earth. Let's remember that. And freshwater habitats, such as wetlands, but also environments very rich in water, like tropical forests, are among the most biodiverse on the planet. That said, however, unfortunately, across the world, our water resources and biodiversity are under increasing pressure. Rivers, lakes, aquifers are drying up or being polluted, and freshwater species populations are declining at an alarming rate. One of the latest WWF reports actually showed an 84% decrease in freshwater species populations since 1970. So really, it's unsurprising that WWF, which is a global conservation organization, is engaged on water-related issues worldwide. Now, that said, related to your question as to why, what might be more surprising to some is that WWF is a mm-hmm. key player working for many years on raising awareness and engaging companies and investors to address water issues. I mean, the reason for the engagement is simple in the sense that water, ultimately, it's a local and shared resource. And so we can only manage it sustainably if all water users in a river basin work together. And so protecting freshwater cannot happen alone. And businesses are a major water user and heavily dependent on water. We're seeing an increasing concern about water risks from droughts to flood events happening, which are already hitting for companies, their operations, their supply chain, for investors, their investments. And it really has significant financial impacts on the bottom line. And therefore, we really see it as critical for companies and investors to recognize water risks for what they are. They are a material issue that needs to be accounted for into business strategies and investment decisions.
Thanks, Erin. I think you've highlighted very two important points. One being, we've obviously underestimated the importance of water, especially when you look at investments. You always assume it's a resource that will always be available. And the second point that you're raising, I guess, is very fundamental for us as well as an institutional investors, which is the role that institutions such as CDC and our companies can play, not only in preserving water resources, but effectively just managing very well in the operations. So I guess the next question is, why the water risk filter? So why was it that the WWF thought it would be useful for them to develop such a powerful tool?
Yeah, and that's a great question. I mean, the water risk filter is really WWF's flagship tool when it comes to engaging, that we use to engage with private sector to raise awareness and action on water. And now, where it all started really with the water risk filter was actually with the German Development Bank, DEG. They approached WWF because they were interested in assessing water risk across their portfolio. And as a result, WWF and the German Development Bank, DEG, co-developed a first version of the tool, which was launched in 2012. And as companies and investors increasingly became aware that water issues can lead to significant financial impacts, as you've mentioned, especially if they are overlooked and not addressed, they increasingly started to turn towards practical, easy-to-use online tools, such as the water risk filter, to help identify their water risk and hotspots and better focus their efforts and action.
So for someone who is either an investment professional, a portfolio company, or generally interested in understanding their water issues, understanding what the future looks like in terms of operational risks, how would you explain how the tool works? So for instance, if we recommend this to our portfolio companies or our fund investors, and they're just interested to know how exactly the water risk filter works, how would you explain it?
Sure. Yeah. So I guess, as you've mentioned, it's an online tool. It's a free online tool that you can use to identify water risk, whether it's across operations, supply chains, investments. So really anyone can create an account, log into the website, create an account, and use the tool freely to assess water risks. Now, how to perform a risk assessment? Well, the water risk filter, since its creation, is the only tool out there to assess both what we call basin and operational water risk. And I'm going to explain a little bit these terminologies. Mm-hmm. But what we define as basin risks are water risks due to the nature of the basins in which sites or assets are located. Therefore, in order to be able to use the tool and to do a risk assessment on your basin risk, you need to provide location information of where your sites or assets. And by entering this location information of your sites and assets, the tool will automatically map and assess your basin risks across all your sites worldwide. And basically, the tool will provide basin risk scores ranging from 1 being very low to 5 being very high. And they're calculated based on there's a total of 32 risk indicators integrated in the tool, which are based on best available peer-reviewed data sets and cover all aspects with regards to physical, regulatory, and reputational water risks. And to illustrate maybe just with an example, what I mean there is, for example, if you're assessing physical water risk, the tool assesses water scarcity risk, but also looks at flooding risk, water quality, and status of ecosystem services. But up till now, I've been really talking about the basin risk assessment, which is one part of the picture. Now, water risk also depends on how a site or asset depends on water, uses water, which we refer to as the operational water risk. And therefore, the tool enables you to even go deeper in your assessment of water risk to also look at the operational side. And to do so, operational data at site level does need to be entered into the tool, and this can be done by filling a questionnaire. And basically, the tool then, by combining this basin risk information, thanks to the location data provided, as well as the operational risk information, the tool helps to prioritize and understand where it's most critical to address water risks and mitigate your water risks. I guess the conclusion that I'm trying to make is it's really an easy-to-use tool. It's freely accessible. You can create an account, upload this information, and start your journey on understanding your water risks, both now and in the future.
Thank you so much. I think, Erin, you also touched on something very important, which I think we might try to deliberate a bit more on, which is the scenarios that you're getting. So for people who've used the tool before and people who are currently using the tool would know that the tool normally gives you your current physical risks, your current basin risks. But with the partnership with CDC, we're also seeing the tool is now able to give you pathways that are aligned to TCFD and climate scenarios. So can we touch on, I guess, the evolution of the tool over time?
Sure, yeah. I mean, so the first version of the tool was launched back in 2012. It's been, from the start, really a tool to assess both current basin and operational water risks. And as you've mentioned, with the partnership with CDC, we just launched last year an enhanced version of the tool, which aims to incorporate scenarios of water risks, which are based on a combination of the most relevant climate scenarios based on IPCC representative concentration pathways, as well as socioeconomic scenarios developed by the IASA Research Institute. And basically, by integrating this completely into the tool, users can provide information about, you know, where the location of their sites and assets, and therefore be able to explore how these water risks will evolve in 2030 and 2050 under different scenarios in order to better perform forward-looking type analysis now.
So maybe an example, I think we mentioned before that this is a tool designed for corporates. Do you have any practical examples of how this has been used before, or a company in mind that you can maybe speak to on how they've used the tool before?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so we've seen, I mean, we've seen a growing number of corporate users from a range of different sectors who are using the tool. And more specifically, I do have some examples of our work at WWF more working more closely with companies, especially in the food and beverage, in the retail and the textile sector. And I guess just to flag that when we start at WWF working with companies more closely to help them become better water stewards, to engage them on their water stewardship journey, the first step that we do is to assess water risk across their supply chain using the water risk filter. And in order to then better identify contextually appropriate actions to address their risks. And I guess to illustrate this with a bit of a concrete example, and a recent example is our work with the textile company H&M Group, where the water risk filter risk assessment results is helping them to take more meaningful action on water by setting water targets that are contextually driven. We call them contextual water targets for their suppliers. And I guess for a bit of background about H&M Group, they obviously have many suppliers all around the world. And the way each supplier uses water or is exposed to water is differs, obviously, depending on contextual conditions, as you can imagine. So what we've been doing with H&M Group, working together with them, is to develop a framework to set performance targets for their suppliers that better reflect and take into account the contextual conditions in which the suppliers are operating, and based on information and driven by information from the Water Restore tool. And so I think this is a great example of how the Water Restore tool can be used for risk assessments to understand your water risk, but even the outputs can be used to inform the setting, in this case, of more contextual water targets in order to drive more meaningful action.
Thank you so much, Arian. I guess key takeaways is the tool is accessible to all. It doesn't require a lot of information, so it's easy to use, and it can be used by investment professionals and corporates. And with the partnership with CDC, of course, we have supported the tools evolving in terms of from initial physical risk assessment of your current basin risks to helping you do TCFD aligned type reporting, as well as understanding future scenarios under different climate scenarios. But yeah, I'll wrap it here. Is there any last thoughts, last points you'd like to make, Arian, before we close it?
Yeah, I guess just my last point would just be, water stewardship is a journey, so it's important to get started, and especially as our water resources are increasingly under pressure, we really need the private sector actors to take part in driving the solution for a sustainable future. So, and the Water Store is a great spot where to start, and start by understanding your water risk.
And that's about it for this episode. If you want to find out more about the issues we've discussed today, including a link to the water risk filter itself, please do take a look through the notes in the episode description. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the ESG podcast. We'll be back with another very soon.